Welcome to the show that encourages Christians in leadership, whoever they are and wherever God has placed them. It was in the 1930s that a young Californian lumberyard worker caught a vision for what God might do. After seeing the benefits of basic discipleship principles in his own life, Dawson Trotman wanted to teach them to others based around the injunction in 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. So he began a ministry to high school students and later sailors in the US Navy. Groups will gather to study, apply, and memorize verses with the expectation that those who grew to know Jesus would go on to make disciples themselves. The ministry became known as the Navigators, and today there are 1,200 cross-cultural missionaries in more than 100 countries, including the UK. So it's particular joy that I welcome on the Leadership Show today, Phil Boydell, who's the Navigator UK's National Director. So welcome to the Leadership Show, Phil.
Great to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
My first encounter, Phil, came when I was working in the student world myself for UCCF. There were Navigator groups in some of the campuses I used to visit in the South, particularly Southampton. You know, obviously have warm feelings towards the ministry. Perhaps you could describe the scope of the work today. That was several decades ago. So maybe things have changed. I don't know.
Yeah. So we have about 75 kind of full or part-time staff, basically, that work with us around the UK. And then many other volunteers and kind of other partners. And they're involved in all sorts of things. There's a lot of student ministry still with those sort of people, but we also have another, you know, other sorts of ministries like Second Half Living Ministry, which we've kind of developed in the last few years to help people flourish and be fruitful in the second half of life. And we have a lot of cross-cultural missionaries kind of living and working in communities. We work a lot with local churches as well to kind of help them develop disciple making in their local churches. So there's just a few things around that we're doing.
Yeah, was it the 2:7 ministry, Colossians 2:7? Was that the back
yes,
in the day?
Yes, that was a big part. Yeah, so that was a big part of our kind of church ministries in the, especially in the 80s, where it's a kind of, it's quite an extensive, it took a few years to get through the program, but it's about, you know, helping people grow as disciples and then make disciples, and kind of that was kind of the thrust of that ministry. And it's still, we've still got it available on the website and stuff. It's still a great resource. Yeah.
Well, it was only almost 100 years ago. In a decade, it will be 100 years ago since Dawson Trotman started. And obviously the work has changed over time, but I guess some of the basics of talking to people about your faith, encouraging them to grow in Jesus, and then that sharing on has been a principle, I guess, throughout all this work.
Yeah, very much. And I think that kind of, I mean, a lot of the contemporary church talks about multiplication, you know, disciples who make disciples. And I guess we tend to talk more in the language of spiritual generations, but how you pass on to the next, from one generation to the next, how you pass on from one person to the next, you know, the faith, and really kind of see that, you know, that multiplying effect, as it were, through our investment. I just think it's absolutely vital for the church in the UK, where we're at right now. And I think we've got all the opportunity in the world to kind of have a significant impact.
Sure. Well, Phil, we need to obviously analyze to some extent the challenge within the UK church. Obviously, we're talking a little bit in stereotypes, but I guess lots of these conversations have to be to some degree. So, for example, some surveys, notably by the Evangelical Alliance, have suggested the average Christian is less concerned about engaging in personal evangelism. And, of course, in some contexts, quite fearful. And this is part of Premier Christian Radio. Obviously, we're reporting some of the more extreme stories, but nevertheless, those stories do exist of Christians in the workplace being shut down, sometimes being asked to leave for what we might call relatively small comments and ideas about various things that are politically correct or deemed politically correct. And all of which, of course, creates an atmosphere of, oh, crumbs, I mustn't say anything about my faith. Now, I appreciate the workplace isn't the place to be sharing your faith in work time, but nevertheless, that's the feel. So talk to me about how you perceive the climate and the kind of things you say to people who are interested in your work.
Yeah, I think the danger in our cultural moment is just the pressure of secularism and the kind of the slight oppressiveness of that worldview on all of us, where we just feel like, you know, it's going to sound stupid if I'm say that I'm a Christian and I believe in this thing. You know, I guess Charles Taylor was the famous, you know, the secular age, and kind of talked about his canopy over this world where there was no transcendence. I think what's really interesting is most people on the street have a longing for transcendence. They have a longing for more. They're asking questions about meaning and purpose and justice. And I think the danger is that we see the headlines and we quieten down a bit. And to be honest, I've quietened down in my life in the past. I remember when I arrived at university in the late 90s and kind of just feeling completely overwhelmed by this kind of secular worldview that felt so kind of like, you're an idiot for being a Christian type of thing. Kind of now I kind of look and think, actually, the cultural climate's quite different now. Like, there's still an oppressiveness, but we've also got fascinating people like Jordan Peterson and stuff who are kind of saying, actually, you need transcendence, you need meaning, you need, you know, actually, potentially, I don't know where Jordan Peterson himself is at in faith. And I think it's just fascinating. You've got these sort of people that are kind of saying, we can talk about these big issues of life that have not disappeared, and secularism has not satisfied the longings of people's hearts. And so I think we're just kind of trying to say to people, like, along with most of the church in the UK, just, you know, let's not be intimidated too quickly, and let's not become aggressive. That's probably not that helpful, but let's not stay quiet, because these questions of the human heart have not disappeared anywhere, despite our secular world. So I think that's kind of probably one of the big things I'll be saying at the moment, and we are saying at the moment.
And you've got this language you use alongside us, or along being alongside, which I think kind of is a lovely concept, isn't it? In the sense that you're not in opposition with someone, you're not confronting them, you're drawing alongside to help Christians grow, but also to help people inquiring about faith to find the faith that we enjoy.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting, because we've as navigators, we talk a lot about disciple making in Matthew 28 and go and make disciples of all nations. And, you know, you've also got language like workers and laborer, you know, in the scriptures as well, of kind of this person that is active in the harvest field, active in making disciples. But I think what we've found is that the word laborer sounds like you're potentially a Russian gulag, because it's not particularly, you know, what is that helpful language in terms, sure, of, and I think, how do we capture a new generation with the disciple making vision? And even the word disciple making itself, we found, even, you know, even people that we've trained, they can feel a little bit intimidated and like, can I do this? Am I qualified to get alongside someone, be it a Christian or a non-Christian, to help them grow? And I think we're really captured by this language of alongside and alongsider. And it partly comes from John 17. So the parakletos language of the work of the Holy Spirit comes alongside us to point us to Jesus. It's kind of where we were inspired from, in that sense of the Holy Spirit comes alongside us and points us to Jesus. And you know, it's often translated, you know, the alongsiding ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I think we just felt like that was really helpful language to kind of say, you're already alongside people, can we help you be a bit more intentional in this? And don't get too intense. As soon as you use a title like a, you know, a laborer or disciple maker, people immediately disqualify themselves. If you talk about a posture, people can, I can imagine myself, I'm already in that posture, I can kind of half see it. And so I think we're just trying to encourage as many people as possible to kind of be a bit more intentional and aware that they're already in these opportunities, they're already in these relationships. I think the beautiful thing about the work of the Holy Spirit, you know, John 17 and kind of our posture is that God is the goal and God is the agent of change. Rather, you know, we work with the Holy Spirit, as it were, as alongside us. And it's, you know, it's used, it's then, that word is then used of disciple makers who encourage, comfort, and exhort in Paul's letters, others, as we get alongside them. So we're just trying to capture some new generation that maybe capture more people into this, into you can actually really live out this vision through your life. So that's our heart, I guess, in using that language. And the feedback we've had so far has been incredibly encouraging. Like, it's just trying to help people think in new ways, use new language to capture new people and fire their imaginations a little bit. So that's kind of where we've come from on that. And yeah.
Sure. And I think you're right in terms of the word disciple and disciple making is conjures up too much baggage as well. Healthy though the word is from a biblical point of view, of course, and has been, you know, like the word evangelical to some degree has a freight, you know, a kind of a have overtones for some people as they hear it, and you have to get back to the brass. You know, I describe myself as someone who believes in the teaching, who seeks to follow the teaching of Jesus. That is an evangelical, but the word evangelical has overtones for others. Yeah. So that makes a lot of sense. And the kind of training tools you use, Phil, because you know, for some people this is a big step. You know, I have my faith and thinking about seeking to talk with others about that faith and teach them is a big step. What sort of tools do you use?
I don't know how we describe this as a tool, but I think the first thing is we kind of encourage people to draw out a relational network diagram of just like, tell us about your relationships, where are you already positioned? You know, and just say, actually, let's just realize the first reality that you are already uniquely positioned in this world. You've probably got people that aren't followers of Jesus in your families. You've probably got already many people who don't follow Jesus in your workplace, your neighbors in your streets. Your friends and your sports clubs. So let's just paint the current reality of where you're already positioned, and then kind of point out that actually, like, you know, no one else in the world is positioned exactly where you are, and God has made no mistakes as to where he's placed you. So I think the first kind of, I don't know if you could even call that a tool, but it's kind of just a way in to kind of say, actually, God has already uniquely placed you, and can you trust his promises for that place he's put you in right now? And so that's probably the first thing we do. And you know, we focus a lot on the promises of God, of saying, actually, you know, Isaiah 61 is a really important promise for us that we take people to very quickly, where, you know, Jesus, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is on me and has anointed me to preach good news. And, you know, we just want, and then it goes on to describe a people who will become rebuilders and restorers in this world, and will become priests who display the glory of God in this broken world. And, you know, beauty replaces ashes and all this sort of stuff. And just say, is this promise true for you, where he's placed you? And so we're trying to catch people with faith. You know, that's probably the second thing. I don't know if you describe this as a tool, but like, we're trying to catch people with faith as he's uniquely placed you. And his promises are true because they're true because of Jesus Christ and his authority. And then it's, you know, and then it's kind of, then I think there's a lot of relational tools actually in terms of, you know, how do you build trust? How do you build a good relationship? You know, the basics of how you build a good friendship with people and kind of talk about, and, you know, so I think taking steps of vulnerability with people, with Christians, non-Christians, are just like, you know, suddenly, if you start talking about, you know, I'm a parent, you start talking about parenting with whatever parent you meet, wherever they are on the spiritual journey, you're going to have, you could get into very significant conversations about fears and, you know, and so how do we just kind of live and open up about our life and those sort of things? How do you learn to listen well? So those would be a crucial tool of just listening to people's stories and just taking time to really listen to people's stories. And I think probably that we've often said in the NAVs that probably the biggest tool is this vision is caught more than taught. So you can teach certain things. So you try and teach people listening skills and all these sort of things. But if you've experienced being got alongside and discipled relationally one-on-one, you're likely to be able to copy some of that with another person. So I guess we're trying to capture people that haven't necessarily been discipled. And so we're trying to train people in that. But it is something where, if you have experienced it, that does help, because then it gives you that confidence. Well, you know, I've often felt, you know, the people I've discipled look at me think, well, if he can disciple me, then I can surely disciple someone else. And, you know, I look at some of the people who've influenced me who've been wonderful, but also really flawed and broken and struggling, and yet they've influenced me incredibly. And, you know, if they can do it, I can do it. And so I think it's that kind of principle of God is in the business of, through the Holy Spirit, of using broken people who don't feel capable, and he actually enjoys using those people so that he can display who he is through them. I just think, yeah. So and we've got some great resources as well. Like we just produced a booklet called Face to Face, which kind of basic principles of disciple making. We've also got a new magazine called the Alongside magazine, which gives loads of hints and tips of kind of how to kind of get going and getting alongside people and first steps and that kind of thing. So those are a few things I could go on, but
well, it encourages people to go to your website and find out some of these resources, certainly. Phil, as the national director, how do you spend your time? What are your focuses as a leader?
Yeah, so oh gosh, I mean, I seek to model what we do. So I get alongside people myself. So I do spend quite a lot of time just meeting with people, Bible studies, you know, try and partner with other friends in the community to kind of, you know, get alongside neighbors and stuff and that kind of thing. So I seek to do this myself. I'm also, I guess, I'm 2 years into this role, and so, you know, seeking to bring, you know, real strategic direction to what we're doing, as we, I guess, we've got lots of ambitions as to how we want to serve and bless in the UK, and bless the UK church with this vision, and serve as well as we can and partner well. I'm also, we've got a wonderful faith challenge at the moment. I don't know, I've always described it as a wonderful faith challenge of a budget deficit, which I kind of, so I'm doing a lot of fundraising as well at the moment, where we're seeking to raise a lot of funds to kind of move us forward, you know, move us forward in faith in terms of some of the things we'd really like to do. Yeah, so yeah, lots of writing, lots of talking. I spend so much time talking to people all the time across the organization, you know, working with teams and teaching and all that sort of stuff. So I think probably I'd probably say the my overall thing is I'm seeking to bring faith and hope to people, both in the NAVs and outside the NAVs, in terms of that God really wants to use them, that, you know, we can have a real impact in the UK. That's probably ultimately is my heart, is I just want to kind of, however possible, increase people's faith and hope that God is really at work and is able to work through them. I guess is my ultimate passion in that.
Certainly back in the day, I was working with a staff worker, NAVS workers would find their own support. I guess that's still the model. So you're looking for funds for the national side of things to promote the work.
We still live off, we do gift income raising, and so every, you know, that's a you know, big faith adventure as we for every single person working with the NAVs. So
and
which we see God's gracious hand in all the way through.
And Phil, anyone obviously who's in youth work is very aware of the safeguarding dimension of the mentoring role, that, you know, one-on-one work has always been an important part of youth work. Now, obviously you're working slightly older, but nevertheless, I guess those dimensions still impact what you do. I don't know how you talk about those kind of issues.
Yeah, I think this is probably one of the greatest pressures on our vision. You know, we're kind of emphasizing really strongly a life on life, relational disciple making vision. We say that's crucial, that, you know, we're saying that relationships and close relationships are central to God's mission. And I guess this whole thing of abuse of power that's been going on, and leaders that have fallen and all this sort of stuff, I think it does put a huge pressure on our vision. So, you know, I think we talk a lot about, you know, wisdom and safeguarding in this ministry, you know, that, you know, meet people in public places, beware of boundaries and appropriateness. I think I'm also really cautious that we don't kind of throw the baby out with the bathwater, just because of, I think it's always been one of the my phrases that I've always heard is misuse doesn't argue against non-use, if that makes sense. So the fact that some people have abused, you know, the kind of mentoring disciple making thing doesn't mean we shouldn't do it, but it doesn't mean we need to be cautious and wise. And so, you know, I think I've always had, you know, principles of, you know, I don't mentor women as a man, you know, and I'm very cautious about misusing, you know, everyone has power to one degree or another. That's a reality of humans. Some people have more power than others, depending on gifting and personality. And actually, how you make sure that you don't misuse that power. And actually, we always come to people, you know, the posture of the scriptures is a posture of service and humility. That's what the scriptures tell us. You know, we're not to lord it over others like the Gentiles do, as Jesus says. So we come to people with that position of service and humility rather than I'm a great guy and should really listen to me. It's kind of like we come to serve God's work in that person's life. And I think this whole power thing is really interesting. One of the most helpful ways of thinking about it is thinking of it as a triangle, that you've got me and another person at the bottom of the triangle, but also God is in the picture. You've got the top of the triangle. And if it's just me influencing another person, then it's just my personality. But if God's in that picture, then he's the primary agent of change. And it means that I serve his purposes rather than my purposes. And it means that I listen to him as to what he's doing in someone's life rather than what I think he should be doing in someone's life. And I think it's that kind of posture. This is what I mean by alongside, is that sense of there's a submission to God, and there's even a submission to what God is doing. You know, there is a submission to what God is doing that other person. And so we work with the Holy Spirit as to what he's doing. And so I think, you know, I think that's just a really important posture in terms of we don't lord and overpower people or anything like that. And we always come with that submission and humility. Can I tell one really quick story on this? I met one of the most influential navigators in our history was a guy called Donald McGilchrist, who really shaped the whole worldwide movement theologically and biblically over decades. And I met him a couple of years before he died. And what was fascinating meeting this guy is he just said, I've been so excited to meet you, Phil. I've heard so much about you. I just want to learn from you. And I'm like, this was a guy who was 40 years older than me. Like, he had a brain the size of a planet, you know, and yet he came in really humility into how can he learn from me and serve God's purposes in my life. And I think that was the kind of posture that kind of, I think you see in the scriptures, of this isn't a lording it over with power, which he could have done, but actually came and got alongside and served God's purposes and listened. I just think that was a beautiful example of the kind of spirit of what disciple making should be about, and how we need to really recover that for this generation in the midst of all these misuses of power and horrible stuff. I don't know if that answers your kind of question.
No, it's really very helpful. It's very helpful. Thank you. And as you say, you know, plenty of folk meet one-on-one in all sorts of walks of life.
Yeah.
As you say, a very small percentage of mentoring has been unhealthily and unhelpfully utilized. And so let's not stop doing it just because it's, you know, gone pear-shaped, and let's be wise in our approach. We're coming to the end, Phil, but I understand you've got a conference coming up in October, no doubt. You'd be wanting to encourage people to be aware of that if that's something that interests them.
Yeah, so Saturday, October the 7th, we're meeting at Birmingham Vineyard Church for a day conference where we're going to be looking at the whole theme of alongsiding, and also how we partner with others in alongsiding, where we are in our local churches or wherever we're based. You can check out the Navigators website and have a look at that. Yeah, come along. It'd be great to meet you.
Fabulous. Well, thank you for your time today and for your inspiration for us to be relaxed about engaging in conversations with others and seeking to lead them to faith and on into discipleship. So thank you.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
It was super to spend some time with Phil Boydell, talking about the alongside ministry of the Navigators. He is the UK director of the Navigators UK, and a good reminder for all of us to use our influence to get alongside others, seek to share our faith, encourage their faith if they have it. And as 2 Timothy 2:2 says, to seek to entrust the message of the gospel, the good news of Jesus, to reliable people who can then teach others. And that multiplication approach is one that will enable us to see the churches of Christ flourish wherever we are and wherever they are. There are two places, of course, to find archived versions of the Leadership Show. You can go to Premier's website and type in the Leadership Show, and you get the archives of several hundred back issues, as it were, of the show. But you can also go to the profile. This show appears as the Leadership Special midweek, so you can re-listen to this one or encourage someone else, if you've enjoyed this show, to listen to it. So it normally lands roughly on a Wednesday. And then the profile itself is a longer conversation, sometimes with Christians and leadership, that typically comes out on a Saturday. So you can look for shows there on topics or people that particularly interest you. So I'm Andy Peck, the host of this show. Delighted once again to have had your company, and look forward to you joining us very soon. Bye for now.
Lowe's knows you take pride in every project. So take on what's next today with a free select Craftsman hedge trimmer or leaf blower when you buy a 20-volt push mower. That's a $119 value on reliable, high-performance Craftsman tools you trust. For the power to do it all, build, repair, restore, maintain, go with Craftsman. Available at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 5/21. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
If your brain is at full capacity with to-dos, birthdays, and dinner plans, meet Skylight Calendar. It syncs your entire family's schedule onto a sleek digital display, so you focus on important things like where you left your coffee. Right now, Skylight is offering our listeners $30 off their 15-inch calendars by going to skylightcal.com/talk. Go to skylightcal.com/talk for $30 off your 15-inch calendar. That's SKYLIGHTCAL.com/talk.